Today's message is dwelling in God's love forever. And kind of key to the message is this link between dwelling and love. And it's part of this walking with God. So walking seems like a journey, and dwelling seems like staying a place. But I want to bring them together in looking at this final verse in Psalms, and I'm going to actually bring the piece that George presented on last week and today's, and then as we go through it, try bring them together, because I thought it was really powerful the way in interpreting that first part of this passage, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, how do we have that confidence, that faith, when the fires, the trials come? And the message was on faith under fire. And I want to talk about sort of completion of that faith. It's this journey, and then what does it bring us to? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want to talk about sort of God's wondrous, strange house, and kind of quickly summarizing, say, in that house, there's only one begotten. Everyone else is adopted. Everyone, when adopted, starts out as a goat outside the house and then becomes a sheep when they're adopted. Then, after becoming healthy, they're brought to mountaintops where even goats can't tread. And they return as mini shepherds, little Christs, and they return with a call and a task in relation to other sheep until, as the final step of this journey, they leave this whole realm through a final valley of the shadow of death, and become something that right now we can only in the faintest way glimpse, but we know is going to be a glory of such a kind and such a beauty that right now we're not fit to even grasp it. A strange house. How do we learn to dwell in this wondrous house? So first, I want to note, if we want to live and dwell in a house, we have to learn its ways. And I want you to, at the beginning, think, what's the difference between a covered place, say a cave or a tree, a cliff hanging, and a house? Is it just, you know, one ends up being made of wood or something like that? What I want to suggest is a house is a place where something living dwells. And to dwell there means there's a going out of the house and a coming back to the house. And the house is adjusted to the ways of the one who dwells there. So when someone internalizes those ways, they dwell. If you want to dwell in a wolf's house, you can't be sheep-like. And if you want to dwell in a shepherd's house, you can't be wolf-like. You've got to learn the ways of a house and take them on and assume them and internalize them as your ways. And until you do that, you're uncomfortable in the house. It's someone else's house. It's not your house. For a house to be transformed from a place to a home, a person has to become familiar with the ways of the house. They have to be initiated into the ways, and they have to become those ways they live out and who they are. Now, what does that mean when you start out as that goat, and then you're brought by the shepherd, and you enter through that proper gate that Jesus is, and you become a sheep? Well, there's still a lot of goat in you. At the beginning, you're part sheep, part goat, already made sheep. But you've got to become that special kind of sheep that dwells in that house. And the topic here is going to be that for children, and that's what you are when you're transformed from the goat to the sheep, you become a child of the house. But the child, you know, initially only adopts the ways they're yet able to adopt. They only see little bits. They still have all their tantrums, and they do all these things that are contrary to the ways of the house, and they need to be disciplined, and they need to mature. So what it means for the child is the child has to grow up and become one who represents the ways of that house. And the topic of the lesson I want to come to is the relationship between faith, hope, and love, and this growing up process where we become the kind of sheep who dwell in God's house and dwell forever. So let's start with an image that I'm going to take you through a few slides, which kind of presents our topic, and I'm going to go through a lot of things fast. So this initial illustration is to give like a first statement of it, which I'm then going to go back and go over in a lot more detail on. But let's start out with our sense of a direction, a destination we're going to be brought to. We come as sheep, we're down in the plains, and we're going to be taken through the valley of the shadow of death, and we're going to be brought to a mountain. And I want you to notice sort of a double character of this first glimpse we have of our hope. It's a sense of a destination, of something that we glimpse from afar. But at the same time as we glimpse it, it's a sense of a task given to us. And that task, in essence, tells us, you've got to become the kind of creature, the kind of sheep that can dwell there, that can make it there. And you're used to kind of recovering and getting fat down on the plains. And initially, this is our hope. But we kind of see it with old and new eyes. And when we glimpse it with the old carnal eyes, that hope is, that's a place I can never be. That's my undoing. In fact, that's a scary place. Why do I want to go there? And then glimpsing it with other eyes, spiritual eyes, I can go there? What kind of a person will I be when I can travel there, dwell there, be there, and you get a glimpse not only of the task, but a possibility that that's not just for someone else. That's for you. You can go there. In fact, you have to go there. This is where he's going to bring you. And if he's going to bring you there, it's because he knows where you need to be. So this hope, we see it in two ways: a glimpse of something and a task. And in that task, a glimpse of who you will be when you go where he brings you. You're no longer going to be the kind of sheep that can't make it in the mountains. So Paul here in Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now, the child can't yet grasp, the child can't yet take hold of. The child, at best, has these little bits of living according to a way. And the task, then, it's a kind of gift. It says, stay in this house. You'll come to see what you can't see yet. It'll be granted to you. And step by step, you'll be brought there as long as you remain here. And the claim I want to make, and I pointed to it already when I began talking about the strange nature of God's house, is just like being born is starting out a goat and becoming a sheep, journeying to that mountain, growing up, means that sheep becoming a mini shepherd. Strange transformation there. So, to the next slide, and I have a little illustration here. So, I'm going to be illustrating this first part of the journey by talking about a relationship between a parent and a child. Because a parent is supposed to be a disclosure of God as the one who cares for us. And the household is to be a representation of God's ways with his household when properly lived out by a parent. And this sheep here is me. And my son got it for me when he went to New Zealand with his sister. And the spectacles reminded him of me. But I thought it's really fitting because Calvin spoke of Scripture as the spectacles, the glasses that enable us to see what we can't otherwise see. And here, you know, think of this as, you know, transformed from goat to sheep and given eyes that can glimpse where we're to be taken. But as long as I'm still not yet brought to that high place and brought down, I'm not yet fit to be a parent. Because to be that parent, I need to be able to disclose those ways of God. And I'm speaking here in terms of like that deeper meaning that God would disclose in a household. And here's me. And apart from being brought on that transformation journey, this is the best I can say to my kid. And this is me able to preach. There's not too many clear, distinct sounds I can give. But there's being cared for and being set on a journey. And let's imagine now I've gone on that journey and been brought back. And the type that I'm using me with my household to try illustrate is what happens with each of us as we are brought on the journey with him. So here I've been brought to the mountains and brought back, and the children have been given into my charge. And I'm to guide them as sheep who have just come into the household. Now, I know that apart from the shepherd guiding me, that's it. But yielding to the shepherd, then I can become a little shepherd. I can help disclose him and the call and the ways of his house, and they can become the ways of my house. And it's still a sliver. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then face to face, now I know in part. Then I'll know fully, even as fully known. So we're a child. We have these glimpses. We're brought on a journey, sent back. We see a bit more, but still only a reflection, still growth, still the word given to me as a challenge, a task for my life and my living it out. And what I want to show is the same way we began is how we're perfected. And as we're perfected, we come to dwell, and that perfection is sort of assuming the ways of God's house. And assuming those ways are taking on love. It's learning to love my children rightly. It's learning to love others rightly. So growing up involves, first, glimpse something. Second, appreciate you're not yet there. And it's a journey until we arrive at the end. And there's a double hope, what you glimpse, first of all, as that destination God brings us to, but what you glimpse also as you being the kind of person that can live at that place. The end is knowing as we've been fully known. So now these three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. And where I'm picking up on is George brought to us an account of that faith under fire. That surely confidence in his goodness and mercy following us. And what I want to do in the dwelling is elaborate further on this relationship between that faith and the hope and love, and that love which is its consummation. So, to the next image, faith born, we get the eyeglasses, we glimpse where we're to be brought, the mountain, we say yes, and we imagined, I went this journey, and now, to my children, as father, I encourage them, grow up, listen to the shepherd. That which is glimpsed, that's your destination. Follow him there. So, Psalm 23, kind of reviewing it, summarizing it. Psalm 23 brings us from the lowlands where the shepherd takes us as his own. Then up to the high places where we become transformed sheep. Finally, it brings us back down from those high places, transformed now as mini shepherds to new sheep. And when thinking, when I say mini shepherds, think Christian. Christian means little Christ, right? One who follows Christ, one who has initially glimpsed that way, received that way, now follows and lives out that way, and in doing so, discloses him. So, three steps here. Step one, there's fragments of a self gathered together. Faith is born by God's gift. You're initially a goat, you're made into a sheep. And here, when becoming a sheep, as a child, you just have the smallest fragments where you glimpse who you are to be. And to the next slide, this is you. You see it? Kind of hard, huh? And we glimpse it and we sense it somehow significant. Me? I don't quite see it. And then we're formed a little more and we come to, okay, I'm recognizing something. I'm taking form, and taking form with a certain sight. Eyes now slightly glimpsing a bit more, and then a bit further. Who we are is taking form. And this is one of my favorite pictures. It hangs in my den. And it was made by Hannah, my daughter. It's a very philosophical picture, actually. Because if you look at it, kind of it's in focus. Just like I showed the earlier brush strokes, if you zoom in, they're like blotches of paint. And when George was bringing the illustration of the soul and the pieces being put together in a lesson that he did a while ago, I was thinking actually of this image that Hannah drew. And one reason I love it so much is, you know, purposely was playing with, if you look at it in different directions, like the cheeks swell up, portion, and the nose is way too long, and then you set back, and the nose is just right, and, you know, that's how we initially take hold of ourselves. It's just these initial fragments, and then a little bit more, and then we take form, but there's still all this distortion, and we're out of kilter, and we're becoming something. And at a certain stage, it's distinctively the kind of thing that God seeks to bring us to. But as we take form, that's only the beginning. Still the beginning. Because step two, now, when we've sufficiently taken form, God leads us to the next step. And that is, learn to leap. Go to the mountains. Live this now as the way of my house. So, sheep, this is what you're to become. And it's not normally how you think of sheep, right? So as parent for my house, it's something like this with my kids. This is Josh being brought by his crazy sister to New Zealand on that trip where he got me this, and he's bungee jumping, and this is near the bottom, and you can see, but I like to think of it as kind of, you know, this effort to leap, and he's held by God's cord and sustained in a place he'd just come crashing to his death on without that cord sustaining him. And then as he leaps and falls and leaps and falls and learns to become the kind of sheep that can be making it in the mountains, he then finds himself over there, standing in the mountains, which initially was just a far away place. But I want to suggest, still, this is just the beginning. This is just the start, because now what the shepherd does, coming to this third step, the sheep are made shepherds and sent to others. Living it then is not living alone, not just taking in, it's sent back out. And to the next slide. Then, as many shepherds with other sheep and tasked with bringing them on their journey, where they become the kind of sheep that can leap on the mountains, and then those sheep returning and sent yet again on that same task, that same journey. So think of these steps now together. The goal here is trying to show you that dwelling in God's house is not a static thing. It's not just, you know, you have this sense of dwelling and not doing anything. Dwelling in God's house is a dynamic thing. It's not a still image, but it's a sequence of transformations that are brought yet higher and yet higher and yet deeper to a greater and greater fullness, and in that fullness, becoming more and more like Him. And we understand when we see how God comes from His house to us. I've been focusing on the journey so far from our perspective, as we take on our eyes and as we go up to Him. But what's crucial to this journey is it's not one that we initially take the initiative with. He takes the initiative. He comes to us. He draws us into His house. He then sends us out of His house to others, and this coming and going is the way of God, and it's called love. Dwelling in this love is our hope. And hope is the sight we have of it, the degree to which we've taken hold of it and glimpse it as the pattern of our life, as the place of our journey, as where we're going, and as who we are to be. Faith is the way we grasp it initially, the way we have our assurance and keep hold of it when we now and then lose this grasp. Faith is the way we enter into it. We glimpse the gift we take hold of the gift, but all along it remains a gift of God's love, perfected by the same way we began, from faith to faith, hope to hope, love to love. It's that way that was initially given to us in the gospel. To die to ourselves in repentance, to then receive his life as a gift, to come into conformity with it, and then to share it with others as our new life, as the fruit that we're brought to, as we're initiated into his ways. So we can say with Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ alive in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God's life, the house, is love. Dwelling in his house involves living out his love. This is following the way of Christ. It's being a mini shepherd. It's the threefold relationship of dwelling. And I have a chart here, and it's, I gather, way too hard for people to see. But I want to just talk about it. I'll have to explain it from far away since I realize it's not seen. But this is kind of a diagram or an image of God's house. Think of it as, you know, the nature of God's house. And at the top, God is love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the fullness of a love dynamic, which is the source of creation, the source of life, the renewal of life. So God's love comes to us. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And by the Holy Spirit, disciples are initiated into relationship with this living Word become flesh. And here, they receive this. Initially, the Word, it comes both as an offer and as a command. As a command, it seems outside us. If we are still down at the bottom and this command is a command to go to the mountains, it seems beyond us. But it's what he makes possible by the power of his Holy Spirit. And then, when we live this command, then the disciple goes to the lost sheep and, quickened by the Holy Spirit, becomes a mini Christ and conveys that lost sheep to this place of being a disciple. And this love, from God's love to us, us coming to love as Christ, us bearing fruit, then initiates the lost sheep into this love and life of God, which circulates through us in our walk with him. So here we have what is given to us as a hope, to dwell in him, for that love to continually be renewed, each step transformed yet further, and in that transformation, becoming more like him, until with its consummation, the fullness and brilliance and glory of that love, that way of Christ, being fully our way, forever and ever. So, the journey which we take hold of in faith, faith is this faculty of the transformed person who by the Holy Spirit takes hold of what's yet unseen with untransformed eyes. It's the incomplete part in us taking hold of what is yet to be completed. It's the part we can't yet see, can't yet taste, tasting of it. So, writer of Hebrews says it's the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope, then, is what God promises, conveyed to us by His Word, glimpsed now through a glass dimly of the life God seeks to initiate us into. There's a double sense to this hope as both something we see, other from us, beyond, but also a kind of person we are to be as we are brought to that destination that we're not at yet. With this confidence, the faith, that we will go there, not because we're able now, but because He's able to bring about what we're not able to do of ourselves. Love, it's God's presence. It's God's life flowing into us and through us. It's what we taste of when we first receive the gospel. It's what we glimpse. And what we look to in the days when the last dark parts of us are burned away and we enter into the brilliant fullness of that light of love. And here I want to, as I come to the last parts of this, link back up with George's message and that faith under fire. And in particular, the fire. Because where we still don't see, where this way is still outside of us and we haven't yet entered it, that means there's dying still needed. There's dark parts that are still present. There's sort of the goat reserve still pulling us the other direction. And God sees who we are to be. And God knows how we're going to get there. And God's in control. And you face these trials, and the trials, they're called trials because they're not fun. They're called trials because they stretch you. They pull you to a place you're not yet. Whatever is being formed in you has to come to a new level, has to come to a new place when enduring those trials. And there are things you're going to fall in. There are ways that sort of goatedness or whatever we want to call it, you know, kind of gets the upper hand and rises up and you say, I thought I wasn't that anymore. And then you have to fight and somehow after the goat ways come, you know, the eyes are a bit dimmer and you thought you were at a place you're not yet and you seem to have stumbled back down the mountain a bit. But you get up because the shepherd's ever loving and ever caring and ever there, and you know he can bring you where you can't go yourself. So you're then going to ask for his forgiveness and you're going to look back up to him And you're going to let him bring you to that next place. And you're going to learn to trust him and walk with him. So here, we glimpse this partially through the glass, this life of God. But what we glimpse, both as a way and as our destination, this is God's presence. It's his love. It's the way of his house, the house that we're supposed to dwell in and live in. It's God's presence and life flowing into us, through us. It's what we taste and what we look to as our fullness. So how do we relate to love when dwelling? First, it's a gift, the goodness and mercy that comes to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's transforming us from goats to sheep, for God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved. That's why this love comes, to save us, to transform us, to renew us, and then to teach us to dwell. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me dwells in me. And I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing. Second, it's this command. We struggle from faith to be like him and are transformed to live it. As the Father loved me, so I loved you. That love extending outward to you. And then he says, continue in my love. This continue is something you have a role in. It's the dwelling. He says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice this relationship. Just as he is to the Father in this abiding, so you are to be to him. And then he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. This, which initially comes to us as a task, a command, a trial, a fire, in its consummation, this very way, this way of our transformation is his love. It's our joy. We see face to face, entering into the rapture of God's fire of love, which forever courses to us, into us, and through us. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, one of the disciples, he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. The hope, the destination. How can we know the way? And Jesus says to him, your destination is right here. This is your way. This is God's presence. This is the pattern of life that you're going to be brought to. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thus Jesus says to the Father, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. That final part of the house, as that way of dwelling extends outward. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. That which we now glimpse in stages is what we'll know fully as a single fullness of God's love. And what for us at first is trial and death, command, task, becomes the joy of an eternal life dwelling in the presence of the living God. And here I just want to, it's a thought, a speculation on the fire of the trials when faith is under fire. And it's a speculation even on the fires of hell. What is that love, that call to someone without eyes to see, called to a journey they don't know how to go to, with an unwilling heart to receive it? What for the one with eyes is dwelling in God's love is to the one without eyes and a rebellious heart nothing but trial and fire. The love needs to be received. And when it's received, whatever in you still goat-like is going to be burnt away. Just like the purifying of gold, it's going to have the dross burnt out. But if we could just see with those eyes how in those trials, if with will and eyes and heart, we can find him, struggle to discern him, what is trial becomes gift. It becomes our completion. It becomes the opportunity to convey God's love to the world. So when, say, a disciple sees someone blind, and the disciple says, this is a bad thing, right? Being blind is bad. Who sinned, this person or their parents, that they ended up being born blind? But Jesus, seeing with different eyes, said, this is God's opportunity, that his glory would be disclosed. And he touches that person's eyes, and that person sees, and everyone around sees the glory of God, and that person who was blind can forever celebrate that they were one God used to show forth his glory. That's what the fires are. That's what the trials are, if we let him bring us to completion in the journey. And it's with this sense of a walk and a confidence in God that the psalmist concludes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in his love, in his house, in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord, for your gift, your call, and our hope. Make it vivid to us and quicken in us a will and heart ready, willing, and able in you to follow this course, to take up this journey, and to walk in this confidence. In Jesus' name.